business.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Some of them are who we thought they were. Others are not. I'm Pod Vader. I am your humble host for today's edition of the AFC West preview. And before I introduce everybody that's on with me right now, we got an email, guys, and it came to us from Josh. He sent it to nextfanup@gmail.com, and he addresses Pod Vader and the superfans. I've heard a lot the past month or two out of the Saints superfan and the whole of the NFC South, as well as a ton on the AFC East. Where's the AFC West? I mean, I get it. There's not a whole lot of interesting things happening in the AFC West. Of course, that is if you ignore Melvin Gordon, Amari Cooper, the impending moves of both the Chargers and the Raiders, Peyton's potential final season, the Denver running back revolving door, the fact that the Raiders aren't going to lose the division this year, the Chargers wide receiving core, what's happening with Rivers. You get the point. Okay, mini rant over. I can only assume that since there has been such a lack of anything AFC West, you have to be missing superfans for those teams. I want to submit my application to be the Raiders superfan. Josh, we'll get to more of your email in just a moment, but let me introduce you to Monty, our Raiders super. Oh, wait a second. Monty is the one superfan who didn't show up this morning. What's up with that, Ken, representing the Chargers?
I mean, this is just typical Raiders stuff, just not showing up on Sundays.
I mean, Mike said that he was going to be here drunk, and he represents the Broncos, and he's here. He's not drunk, but he is here.
I know. The Broncos always show up on Sundays, but you just can't count on the Raiders these days.
And Nick, you represent the Chiefs. I believe you're on your way to the airport, are you not?
That's actually the Chargers that are on the way to the airport, although perhaps that's actually where the Raiders superfan is as well.
You know, and apparently where your host's head is at, because he's got everybody confused. But in any case, what I don't have confused is that we'll be talking about the AFC West in just a moment. There's been a couple of news items that we just want to check off real quickly before we get into the full preview of the AFC West. One item that's super quick, Tom Brady, our favorite topic, Deflategate, or Balghazi, as we have decided to call it here on Next Fan Up. His hearing has now been scheduled for June 23rd, so you can expect a nice podcast after that hearing. Adrian Peterson is doing some weird things up in Minnesota. Apparently, he's been disrespected, and he's looking for a new contract, which is very interesting, considering he still got paid to not play last season. We'll see what happens up in Minnesota. The NFC North will be on this podcast some point soon. And my other favorite team down there in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons, waived Prince Shembo, the linebacker, yesterday, as reports came out that he went and killed his girlfriend's dog. It's a shame that dog killing and Atlanta apparently go hand in hand, but this is the second Falcon involved in abuse to animals. The first was Michael Vick, of course. Not good news out of Atlanta. One positive for them, they did help bolster their O-line by signing right guard Chris Chester, although one could argue if that was really a help. Speaking of offensive lines, let's go to Denver, Mike, where you lost your left tackle due to a torn ACL. He was officially put on the IR yesterday.
Yeah, losing Clady is going to be a big deal. He's obviously one of the best in the leagues. When he's healthy, I should say. We're going to be looking at a rookie starting. We're going to be looking at a practice squad guy starting. We're going to be looking at a guy that was absolutely horrible starting. Not sure what's going to be able to happen with that. Knowing that we have a new coaching staff and we're going to have a completely new style of blocking is going to be the biggest question that we're going to face. So not sure who's going to be able to step in what position. We have a lot of questions that we're going to need answered on that offensive line. It's by far our biggest weakness on the offensive side. A couple other questions to get answered on the team, but losing Clady definitely hurts.
Now, you did end up overnight signing Ryan Harris. Nick, you mentioned that Ryan played a little bit for the Chiefs last year. Is he going to help any?
Well, I mean, he played in 15 games apparently for the Chiefs, but he was the sort of guy where I don't think anyone hardly noticed him. I mean, the fact was that the Chiefs had a highly underperforming offensive line last year, and he was one of the myriad pieces that got sort of thrown in there due to suspensions and injuries and things like that. You know, I would say that he's probably more of a depth player than a starter based on how the Chiefs did last year in terms of the offensive line play. But on the other hand, I've kind of given Eric Fisher, our former first overall pick on the left side, a lot of slack just based on the play of some of the guards. So, you know, maybe Harris, he started apparently before even coming to the Chiefs. I mean, I think he's got starting experience. He can give the Broncos something, but definitely the loss of Clady is something that adds probably a matchup problem with the Chiefs.
Mike, you mentioned that the offensive line is probably going to be the weakest part of your offense, and I would certainly, looking at your offensive depth chart right now, agree with that statement. I'm a little surprised, not totally surprised, that Peyton Manning decided to make a go at it for another year. The whispers of the career might be over sort of got a little bit louder towards the end of the season in Denver. How are you feeling about Peyton Manning for one more year?
Peyton's a guy. Like, Peyton's definitely got it in him. I'm not even sure if this year is going to be his last year. Towards the end of the season last year, I was thinking he was going to be done. If you hear him talk, though, sounds like he's got a few more years in him. Watching him play, it doesn't necessarily look like that. We'll see what happens.
Well, I got to say, I mean, clearly Peyton Manning is a competitor. He's one of those guys. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's Joe Montana. He's Steve Young. He's Tom Brady. He's all these guys that are going to go until they can't go anymore. I think the question is, how far do the Broncos let him go? He's still an upgrade over Brock Osweiler. But you look at that offensive line and then you think of Peyton Manning's neck and you go, oh my God. And you let your tight end, your all pro tight end run away.
Yeah. So losing our tight end, losing Julius Thomas is a big deal. I was happy when we drafted Jeff Heuermann out of Ohio State. I thought he could have been a guy that had the potential to step up and do something. He got injured early on, so he's already out for the season. Brock Osweiler is just not proven. No one has any idea what he's capable of. I think that's a large part of the reason why John Fox was ran out of town. I expect to see Brock Osweiler a whole lot more this upcoming season as the Broncos pull out, get a large lead. Osweiler is going to be getting some snaps. Someone has to get some snaps. Right now, we just don't know if there's anything else. And you got to go with what you know is there.
So let's look at your defense. You've got names all over the place on your defense, but they're mixed in with guys who don't necessarily have a name quite yet. How are you feeling about your defense right now?
Don't feel bad about the defense. Hard to feel good. Again, this kind of goes back to the coaching staff change. So we are going from a 4-3 to a 3-4. You're looking at someone like Sly Williams up the middle. Not sure if he's the nose tackle that we need in a 3-4. Our two inside linebackers with Brandon Marshall and Damian Trevathan, a little unproven. They've both stepped up and they've both done a great job, but they're not necessarily what you want in the middle of the line. They've both seen some injury issues. Stevie Johnson also there in the middle. It's kind of interesting to see how that the middle of the line in particular, or the middle of the defense in particular, develops. Our defensive backs are stacked. It'll be interesting to see how much they get Bradley Roby on the field. A lot of talk that he's going to get some time at safety. He's one of the best players that we have on defense, just kind of sitting behind two really good cornerbacks. So we'll see how they're able to mix them in. Again, it just kind of comes to a question of a lot of a lot of change going on with the change in the scheme, more so than like who, what the names are. It's just how are those names going to be able to fit that scheme? I don't think anyone's able to say confidently that their defense is going to be able to come through. Outside, they're looking solid at linebacker, obviously. It's right up the middle that at least I'm a little concerned.
So, Nick, let's switch to Kansas City now. And, I mean, I think much like we talked about with the Patriots in the AFC East, the Broncos are going to come back to the pack a little bit. The question is it going to be Kansas City or San Diego that steps up to take that spot away from Denver? I'm leaning a little towards Kansas City, and we'll definitely get to you, Ken, in San Diego. But, Nick, tell me, what are your thoughts about Kansas City this season?
Well, I'm definitely going to say, if you put that question to me, who's going to take up the Broncos mantle, KC or San Diego, I'm going to say KC. But to be honest, I think it's now more of a three-way tie at the top. I think that the biggest challenge for the Chiefs is going to be the same one for everyone else in the division, which is just that we have a pretty tough schedule facing the AFC North and the NFC North. But overall, I mean, the Chiefs, they look, I mean, you look at, you compare every position group on the team heading into the 2015 season compared to the 2014 season, and I think it's difficult to make the case that they aren't improved, particularly in wide receiver and the offensive line, which was the biggest problem for the Chiefs throughout the 2014 campaign. I mean, just getting Macklin in there, I mean, I think it's easy to say, okay, well, one player is not going to totally revolutionize the position group, particularly if, you know, if one wide receiver, well, everyone can just shift coverages over to Macklin. But it's really much more than that, because, first of all, I mean, just having a real number one receiver who is actually a reliable target. I mean, Pro Football Focus gave Macklin the lowest drop rate in the league last year with only one drop on 140 targets. I mean, the Chiefs had Dwayne Bowe in that spot last year, who would occasionally, you know, have like amazing catches, and he would also drop tons of easy ones. And when you don't throw it very often, like the Chiefs do, when you only throw it when you have to, you really need that reliable target. And also, the thing is that if the, you know, other teams want to really shift coverage and put two or three guys on Macklin, that's fine. The Chiefs will take it. They'll throw to Travis Kelce, or they'll just, you know, keep on handing off to Jamaal Charles and let him, you know, rack up 250 yards per game on the ground. There's, you know, because I just don't see other teams really focusing on Macklin too much, because it's obvious what the real defensive strategy against the Chiefs is, which is do whatever you can to contain Charles. So Macklin is going to get his catches. I think he's going to be really, really effective for the Chiefs. He's not going to have 1,000 yards. No one's going to have 1,000 yards for the Chiefs in that offense. But, you know, but the Chiefs really fixed and really improved there. The lingering concerns, I mean, there's still some question marks about the secondary, but there were even bigger question marks going into the season last year, and this sort of hodgepodge of DBs that were being moved around, but, you know, guys like Ron Parker being bounced back and forth between corner and safety actually worked out really well for the Chiefs. They locked up him long-term. They bring in, you know, first-round picks at the position. I think the Chiefs are going to be able to figure it out. I think on a pure talent level, I think they're improved there as well. So, you know, when you look at how they stand up with the rest of the division, I mean, particularly now with Denver having even worse offensive line problem faced up against the Chiefs, who are, you know, possibly the best pass rushing group in the league, certainly it's the greatest strength of the team. I think those games are going to be close. I mean, in the past, you would always look at the division schedule for the Chiefs and say, okay, we're probably going to lose to the Broncos, we'll split with the Chargers, and we'll sweep the Raiders. Now, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs are able to win two against either the Chargers or the Broncos, or at least split both series. And, you know, I think it's going to be a dogfight among the three. But I agree that the Chiefs now have the talent, or now a balanced enough team to be able to really compete and be a legit contender.
Nick, you got to say a lot there about the Chiefs, and there's a lot to start questioning. I think clearly on offense, the strength of your team is that running back, Jamaal Charles. I guess the question, though, is do you see Charles? I mean, he's starting to get to that point in his career where you start to question if the running back is going to continue to be the running back that you know.
That is, that is a big worry looming over the team. Charles has turned 29 this year. But it's also part of what makes the division sort of interesting because, all three of those top teams, with San Diego, Kansas City, and Denver, all have their offensive powerhouse that they ride for their entire games going into that sort of uncertain period of their career when they may be declining. They may be, either stepping off or straight up retiring soon. Obviously, in San Diego and Denver, it's the quarterback. With the Chiefs, it's Small Charles, who's now probably past that chronological peak and certainly getting to that peak point in terms of the number of carries he's had over the years. He's had a few fewer than I think he was some every down back in the league, just because I think they tried to spell him a bit more, and he was also injured for an entire year before. But still, he's a guy where his real elite strength is his speed. It's definitely something you worry about. He's gotten better at all the other things, about fighting through blocks and about picking his lanes well. But if he starts losing that speed, the Chiefs just, that's the big edge of the Chiefs' offense that we're going to be losing. I think that's why the Chiefs also are and should be in win-now mode. So they don't know how many more years we have of Charles at this peak form. Maybe one, two, three, but we don't know.
I've never been down on Alex Smith. I've always thought that Alex Smith sort of gets a bad rap, and sometimes it might be rightfully so. Everyone's going to point to the fact that a wide receiver didn't catch a touchdown last season in Kansas City, at least not on the Chiefs side of the ball. You've mentioned Macklin coming in. I honestly think that'll certainly help. It's not going to hurt, that's for sure. But I don't really want to focus on that as much as I want to focus more on your defense. And the question on defense, I think, for you is really your secondary. How confident do you feel with your secondary going into the season here in the West?
I feel probably most confident I've been in a long time, just because last year I was extremely worried about it. We saw at the end of the 2013 season where the Chiefs had that, Cinderella story rise, and then late in the season we had some injuries in the pass defense and among pass rushers, and then suddenly our defense went from being by far the best in the league to being one of the worst. And then we had the mentally and psychologically scarring playoff game against the Colts where we were up 38-10, I think it was, late in the third, and still managed to lose because somehow the DBs were all just sitting around playing with the dirt. I don't really know, but I think after that, going into 2014, we were really worried about it. But I think there were some schematic changes that went in where they stopped being so stubborn and wanting just to do press man all the time and rush five. They've incorporated some zone concepts, and they found that, frankly, with as good a pass rush as we have, just with the front, with a combination of front four guys that you can put there, that they can actually put together a better defense by dropping more guys back. And they found some versatile pieces there. Ron Parker was bouncing between safety and cornerback, really had a season that made him literally a guy that the Chiefs of waivers from Seattle from a training camp to being a guy who just got a huge contract, a guy who's potentially could become one of the best safeties in the league, or perhaps even best corner. He had deep games at both positions. I think the Chiefs have figured out how to move those pieces around. The biggest question for me is not so much this year as next year. We franchised Justin Houston, and Sean Smith, by far our best cornerback, is going into a contract year. So in 2016, are we going to have the money to pay both of those guys? I really don't know.
So, Ken, you've had a chance to hear a lot out of two of your bigger rivals here in the West. Tell me why the San Diego Chargers are the team to beat this year.
Well, it's pretty simple. As soon as Peyton Manning gets back for the first time, he's going to get hurt. And then we'll have the best quarterback in the league. Everyone knows that you need a quarterback to win. And so that's why we're going to win. We're going to win because of Phillip Rivers. And the last time I was on this show, I was not sure if Phillip Rivers was going to be on the team for this year or for any other year, because I thought he was going to get traded. I didn't think he was, but that was a possibility. Now we know that that's not going to happen.
The talks are right now, the rumor mill is saying that Rivers is looking to sign an extension with San Diego. And so when you look at our team on defense, we didn't lose anything other than an aging Dwight Freeney and an aging Jarrett Johnson. And, you know, Weddle's not in camp right now, but there's no reason to believe that he's not going to show up for week one. So you look at the defense and you say, hey, they were pretty good last year and they didn't lose anything spectacular. And then you look at the offense and the only subtraction that you have is Eddie Royal, who was replaced by Steve Johnson. And then you look at the offensive line, we're getting our centers back, all five of them that got hurt. And then we get Orlando Franklin from the Broncos. And then, of course, you know, our first round pick, who I've been on the record saying I did not want Melvin Gordon. But you know what? What do I know? I trust Tom Telesco more than I do myself. And so you have this improving offensive line. You've got a new running back that supposedly can do it all. And you look at the Chargers and you say that they're not, by no means are they the lead pony in this division. I think right now with the injury to Clady, it's pretty clearly a three-team race. But if you look at the Chargers and you say, hey, they have a good shot in that three-team race. They're going to be in it at the very end. And I think if they're not going to be first, they're going to be second in this division, which, you know, has been good enough to make the playoffs in years past. So I'm quietly confident about the Chargers in 2015.
If you don't make the playoffs or if you don't end up in first in the division or even second, where are you going to place that blame?
Well, it depends on injuries, because last year I saw Mike McCoy do a really good job when his team was ready to go injury wise. So you look at the Seahawks game, that's the easiest one. Brilliant game plan. You know, that was my favorite game of the year last year. It's just so easy to look at, point out everything that the Chargers want to do, they did in that game. But then, you know, obviously injuries happened and they didn't do so well. So if this team is catastrophically injured, I don't know who you place the blame on. I wouldn't necessarily place it on McCoy and I wouldn't place it on Telesco. But if this team is pretty much healthy throughout the whole year and we don't make the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of heat on Mike McCoy's chair, because you have one of the top six quarterbacks in the league at the very least, and you're not making the playoffs 2 years in a row. That's just not good enough.
Yeah, that's just not good. Folks, I have great news. Josh, who sent us the email earlier, will not be accepting a new role as the Raiders superfan, as Monty has finally joined us. Monty, welcome to the Next Fan Up podcast.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
So your team has always it has been the perennial team that everyone sort of writes off into the sunset. However, you know, there are whispers, there are thoughts that perhaps this is the year that Oakland turned things around. What do you think?
I think that it all starts at the quarterback position. And when I look around the AFC West, I agree Peyton Manning's one sack away from hanging him up. And I think the Raiders have the best quarterback situation of any of the teams in this league. Whoa. I'd rather be young and talented than Philip Rivers in any situation. I'm not saying they're going to charge for the division title just yet, but the arrow is definitely pointing up.
Interesting. I will allow the other super fans to retort. And since he fired a shot at Philip Rivers, go right ahead, Ken.
Well, the thing about the Raiders is, you know, they haven't had a good team in what, like 12 years. So anytime that they see a glimmer of hope, they get way too excited. So I think that's what we just saw right there. I would much rather have Philip Rivers for the next 3 years than Derek Carr over his entire career. And you can put that on the record.
Nick, how about you? Alex Smith or Derek Carr?
For the Chiefs and where they are right now, definitely Alex Smith. But I won't lie, there are definitely Chiefs fans who would take Derek Carr in a New York minute. That's mostly out of frustration of the fact that the Chiefs haven't really tried to draft a quarterback and develop one of their own since the early 80s. In fact, there's this insane stat that like last time that a quarterback drafted by the Chiefs won a game for the Chiefs was sometime in the mid-80s. We just keep on trading for San Francisco quarterback. So, I mean, I would also like to see the Chiefs try that, but for winning now and for winning the division, no, give me Alex Smith.
Mike, we're not going to compare Peyton Manning to Derek Carr. I think that would be foolish. So I'm going to ask you Brock Osweiler or Christian Ponder.
So that's a tough one. And again, it goes back to I do not know. It's very difficult to tell you what Brock Osweiler is capable of. He showed some signs of he's going to be decent, but he hasn't had enough experience to really do something. We kind of know what Christian Ponder is. He's not really anything that you could get excited about. Just because of that, I got to go play Brock Osweiler. I do have to say there's been a couple super fans now that have mentioned Peyton Manning's one hit away from being down. I don't think people remember how tough he is. If you go back to his days in Indy, minus one pretty catastrophic injury, he doesn't miss a game. He's a tough guy. He's going to be there to play. Our line does offer a lot of questions, especially with the zone blocking scheme and a quarterback that is by far the most immobile quarterback in the NFL. He gets it done, though. He's a tough guy. He's going to be there for a while.
Here's the thing. You might not want him in the game. I know in our second game last year, Broncos in San Diego, Peyton got hurt, and he was hurt for the rest of the season, and he looked terrible for the rest of the season. He came out of the San Diego game, came back in later, and just looked awful. And look at that Colts game. If you have even a decent quarterback just not throwing up these little lob passes, it was amazing to watch how poor Peyton Manning looked last season. And the only reason I wanted him to retire, not for selfish reasons for taking the division or anything, but it just was sad. I don't want to watch the same Peyton Manning that I watched in that Colts game. So if he can come back and look like he did in the beginning in the first half of last season, I'm all for it. I want to see more Peyton Manning. I'm a fan of football, and watching Peyton Manning play football is really fun when he's good. But if you're saying that I'm going to get second half Peyton Manning of last year, for any stretch of this next season, the Broncos are not in good shape.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, Peyton Manning's a tough guy. I'm not going to take anything away from Peyton Manning's toughness. I'm just going to say Peyton Manning's at that age where quarterbacks retire. It looked like at the end of last year, he could have retired, and people questioned whether or not he should have retired. And now you're looking at an offensive line that's not as strong as it once was. You just mentioned a zone blocking scheme with the most immobile quarterback in the league. I mean, there's a lot of that. That's a lot of risk. And if I'm an NFL general manager or an NFL head coach, I want to minimize the risk that I have going into the season. That's my first point. And then the second point would be, you know, if the idea is to get rid of the ball quick, well, I mean, you do have, you know, some pretty decent wide receivers, but we already mentioned you lost your big tight end, and that's where I think you're going to see the biggest pain for the Broncos offense. But we've talked enough about the Broncos, and we do want to give the Raiders some time and speak of their offense. We were talking about Derek Carr. Derek Carr gets a nice new weapon in Amari Cooper through the draft. The wide receiving core is definitely fast. So the question for you, Monty, is can Derek Carr get the ball deep to the wide receivers he needs to throw to?
I think from watching Derek Carr, he's definitely got the ability to, and he's shown flashes. The Raiders are starting to close the gap when it comes to talent in the division. And I think the biggest thing that's going to happen for them is as they adjust to the new coaching staff. So, I mean, it's going to be a new system for Derek Carr to learn, but it's going to be quicker, and they're going to have – I just think that the Raiders this year are going to surprise some people. They closed out the end of last year, winning a couple games that everyone, including Las Vegas, would have bet against. And as soon as they kind of get up to speed with what Jack Del Rio and the Raiders team are trying to put together, I think the Raiders are going to surprise some people. including the three people on this line, probably four, because as a fan, you kind of chuckle every time you say the Raiders' name. But I think that with quarterback, hope springs eternal.
Wow. You really are drinking a lot of Kool-Aid out there in Oakland.
When you're a super fan, you got to believe, Pod. When you have the quarterback, a lot of other things fall into place.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your defense, because it's not just going to be about the offense getting the job done. Your defense is going to have to too. And, you know, we've seen what the strategy was over the past couple years, bringing in those aging veterans. You look at this defense, Khalil Mack, maybe the best player on the defense, but you still look at Charles Woodson, the old man in the back, and you're like, wow, is that really all you got?
Nope, that's a great point. That's why I'm not going to say that the Raiders are going to win the division, but their defense definitely has some work. Khalil Mack's going to get better. Last year, he definitely had some pressure on the quarterback. This year, if he can just start converting those into big plays, I think the Raiders' defense is going to get better, but it's not good enough to win the division. The defensive line has got holes. They're still looking for a solid linebacker. They're coming back off some injuries, but the defense, you're definitely right, Pat. I can't argue with that. I'll go to bat for Derek Carr and the youth all day long, but the defense definitely has got some struggle. So unless somebody steps up and surprises us, the Raiders are going to be battling. They're going to be competitive, but I don't think they got a chance at the division just yet. But the times, they are changing, my friend.
Honestly,
I jumped in there. I was just like, Monty, what do you think your actual record's going to be in 2015?
I think that the Raiders will split with the division.
Interesting.
They're playing the NFC North, so I'm not as afraid of the Bears as maybe I would have been last year. But the Raiders aren't going to beat Aaron Rodgers. Mike Zimmer's doing some good things in Minnesota. That game's on the road. I mean, I think the Raiders are also playing, correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, the AFC East. Or was that last year? No, it's AFC North. So they're playing the Ravens. They're playing Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, the Raiders' record's not going to show it, but I think that once Peyton Manning and the Broncos come back to the herd, you're going to go back to the days of Tim Tebow, where 9-7 wins the division. And I think the Raiders are going to be right there at 6 wins.
I'm going over your schedule right now, and so far in your first 6 games, so weeks 1 through 7, your bye week is week 6. I've got you at 1-5. I'll give you a win even at Cleveland. But you're not beating Cincinnati. You're not beating Baltimore. You're not beating the Bears at Chicago. I don't see you beating Denver, certainly not in Mile High. And honestly, I don't think you match up well with San Diego. I'm sorry, Denver is at Oakland week 5, but I still don't, unless Peyton Manning takes that hit and then he's out, I don't see the Raiders hanging with the Broncos right now. As much as we'd like to see it, but that's a rough schedule.
The Chicago Bears defense is worse than the Raiders, so if you're stacking up there, I think the Raiders are going to be able to compete in Chicago. Peyton Manning, if he makes it to week 5, I mean, you're right. It's going to be tough for the Raiders to match up, but if it's Derek Carr versus Brock Osweiler, I'd take that bet.
How do you feel about that, Mike?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the schedule. I'm not seeing the Raiders on the schedule. And actually, my computer just kind of got all funky. So we don't have the Raiders until, week 8, 9, something like that, a little bit later on in the season. I feel good with the Broncos. I keep on talking about some of these questions. We have the potential to be one of the best defenses in the NFL. I know that's going out on the limb. I know it's saying it really early. Our defensive line have really no idea how they're going to do. Our cornerbacks are safeties were solid, or outside linebackers, our defense is going to be there. Until someone takes down the Broncos, they're at the top.
Monty, I will, after I just did my whole win loss, as we are live here, I've got you with 5 wins. And one of those wins is the, all right, maybe you'll beat one of your division foes. but I mean, you're still going to be picking pretty early in next year's draft. I'm not going to say you're the first pick in the NFL draft, but you're going to be picking early.
Yeah, with any luck, I don't have to hear that sounder ever again for the rest of my life at the first pick in the NFL draft. I mean, the Raiders are young.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
I had to make you hear it.
I'm hoping that's the last one that I hear with the Raiders beat on it, but it all comes down to the quarterback. And Jack Del Rio, I think, has proven over the course of his career that he's good, got a good defensive mind. And he might not have the talent or the pieces this year, but boy, you got to feel good about the Raiders over the next 3 years when you look at the quarterbacks in their division.
Well, I think the only problem with Jack Del Rio is you bring up he's got a good defensive mind and he's a great defensive coordinator. I'm not going to take that away from him, but he didn't show much as the head coach. And I think that would be the one worry I have with Jack Del Rio in the head coaching
position. Look at those old Jacksonville rosters. There wasn't as much talent on there. It did take them into the playoffs. So for a team like the Raiders that haven't sniffed the playoffs since Tim Tebow and they went all in on Carson Palmer, for the Raiders to be competing for the division lead for a chance to make the playoffs, I mean, I think you're going to take that any day of the week based on the last 10 years and the quarterbacks that we've had under center.
Yeah, I disagree there too with you, Pod. I'm very dismissive of the Raiders in 2015, but looking forward, you look at, like Monty just mentioned, those old Jacksonville teams weren't exceptionally talented. And I distinctly remember them beating Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh with that old Fred Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, David Garrard, I think it was, and then a pretty solid defense. So those were pretty good teams back in the day.
The big and nasty, they had those two big defensive tackles. I think David Garrard might have been the quarterback. And I know it's early, and I know I'm the super fan, and you guys can take it with a grain of salt, but I have to believe that Derek Carr is better than David Garrard was. You give a coach a quarterback in this league, I think they got a shot.
Yeah, it really just comes down to David Carr. And if you take him as he's going to improve as much as he did over the course of last season, then it is pretty easy to say that the Raiders are set up for the next 3 years better than anyone in the division, just because we have so many quarterback question marks after this year, next year. You know, I can't see Rivers being good after 3 years, and I think 3 years would be, you know, if Philip Rivers is as good as he is right now for the next 3 years, everyone in San Diego will be happy, and anything after that we can, you know, will just be icing on the cake. But it's pretty clear that the Chargers are in win now mode, the Chiefs are in win now mode, and the Broncos are obviously in win next season mode, because there's, I mean, when you don't have that, I mean, there's no one to step up to the quarterback position after all those guys leave.
And not everyone gets to go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. So when you lose your guy, it can be a dismal few seasons or decades, depending on your situation.
So, Mike, what do you see what do you expect the Broncos to have, and what would be a disappointing season for the Broncos?
First, I do have to apologize. You were right. They do have the Raiders on week 5. If the Broncos don't make the playoffs, it's a horrible season. They are a playoff team. They have the talent there at all positions. Again, we've talked a little bit about the offensive line. It's a little unproven. The names, the way they drafted, if they're able to step up and do what they're supposed to do without going game by game, they're a 11-12 win team, no doubt in my mind.
11 or 12 win team. I've got you at 10-6. But looking at your schedule, honestly, the AFC North and the NFC North, I mean, a lot depends on what happens with those teams and where we see those teams. Is Detroit going to stay the same, improve, or get worse? That seems to be the question in Detroit. Green Bay, I think, is a pretty solid team. You also have to face Indianapolis, which is everybody's darling now in the AFC, up and coming. Obviously, they have no issues at quarterback. But the question team, as always in Indianapolis, is everywhere else. The Bears, people seem to think the Bears are going to take a step back. I'm not so down on the Bears as everyone else is. I think they're still pretty solid. And I think they're going to be a tough team to beat. And the Bengals are always, you know, a scrappy team during the regular season. It's only the playoffs where you don't have to worry about the Bengals anymore. But, you know, that's another show, and that's another playoffs division. Let's go to Kansas City. Nick, what do you think the record's going to be, and what would be disappointing for you in Kansas City this year?
Well, I think disappointing would be 9-7 or less. But, you know, and I think it's similar to Denver in a way that, you know, we need to get back to the playoffs. One way or the other, Andy Reid has had more wins in his first two seasons in Kansas City than any other head coach in the history of the franchise. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be one of those things that, oh, well, we're going the right direction if we don't do super well this season. But, you know, I mean, I think we have the talent to be an 11-12 win team as well. But I think you make that same case for the Chargers. And the fact is, we're not going to have 3 12 win teams in the division. I think that alone and the fact that we have tough opponents is going to bring all these win totals down. It's going to be a slugfest. But on the other hand, Joe, I think, you know, the fact that we're going to probably be bringing down the win totals of the AFC North means that it's certainly possible that 3 teams could come out of this division and go to the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, the playoffs are really the main goal and the real indicator, I think, of how, you know, how much the team is moving in the right direction.
Over my quick and way too early look at the win losses on the schedule, I've got you exactly with Denver with a 10-6 record. And so now I'm looking at the Chargers, and Ken, what are you seeing here in the division for your team?
Well, you look at the Chargers over the last 3 years, and to project anything over 9 or 10 wins is foolish, because they're going to drop some games to teams that you don't think they're going to. They're going to beat some teams that you don't think they're going to. So I don't care about the record. It'll probably be 9-7, 10-6, 8-8, somewhere around there. 8-8 would obviously be worst case scenario, miss the playoffs probably. We'd be fine with 9-7 so long as we make the playoffs, and a good season would be 10 wins or more. And that's all dependent on health. Of course, if Rivers looks like he did at the end of last year against Kansas City, I'd give the Chargers, well, I mean, there's no way they're going to win more than 6 games if that's the Rivers we have. But then if you look and give them, you project with Rivers in the Seahawks game or in the first half of last season, you could easily see the Chargers, you know, becoming one of the great teams in the AFC. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, because I just don't know if that's going to be the Rivers that we see. So it's really dependent on the playoffs. And when I look at the schedule, I'm not scared of any outer division team that we play other than Green Bay. The AFC North, the Chargers have proven that they're not going to back down against the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bengals. I can't remember the last time I was scared to play any of those teams, because the Chargers have played them so well. And even if you look at the Baltimore game that San Diego played last year, Baltimore had that game under wraps. It was pretty much over, and Rivers led a miraculous comeback. So I fully expect the Chargers to make the playoffs, but it's very dependent on health. And if we make the playoffs, when you have a top 6 quarterback in the league, anything can happen.
So interestingly enough, I have the Chargers at 10-6. Now, clearly, somewhere my math went wrong, because there's no way 3 teams in the division are going 10-6. But I think it does highlight the fact that we really are talking about a 3-team race here in the AFC West. And, you know, a lot will depend on how the AFC North and the NFC North shake out. What I do like about your schedule, speaking of the Chargers schedule, is after your bye week in week 10, which I think is the perfect week for you for the bye, you have 2 games left with Kansas City, and then you have 2 games left against Denver. Your out of division opponents are at Jacksonville. You hate going all the way across the country, but it's Jacksonville. You host Miami. So that's obviously in the plus for you. And then, well, not outside your division, but you're at Oakland. And we just mentioned how Oakland's not really scaring anyone right now. But, you know, you never know at week 16 and it's a division game and you might be looking ahead at, you know, that Broncos game for the division championship. Oakland could play spoiler for sure. All right, gentlemen. Well, we really ran through this division preview rather quickly. Who's got some more thoughts here? Anyone?
Yeah, I do agree with Mike saying that the Broncos can have one of the best defenses in the NFL, but that's only if they can fix the middle of their defense, because the Broncos lost Terrence Knighton, and Terrence Knighton was really, really good for them. And I mean, they just don't have any nose tackle guy who's proven anything. And I look at that defense and I say, they're really good everywhere except for the middle. And that's not a very good defensive plan, because you get a team to run the ball in there and their defense just isn't going to hold up everywhere else if you can't stop that run game up the gut.
Yeah, I mean, I just have the observation, in terms of final thoughts too, that you know, it seems like all the talk from all the three other teams in the division is we're going to go as far as our quarterback is going to take us, and that's definitely not the case with the Chiefs. I mean, I think, they're one of the, I guess maybe a unique team in the league in that respect. I mean, the Chiefs beat the Chargers in that Week 17 must-win game for San Diego. That Ken mentioned, in a case where Alex Smith was hurt, you know, and it was a pretty handy game with that the Chiefs had nothing to play for other than being a spoiler. I think the Chiefs are probably the most balanced team in the division in that respect. But on the whole Broncos defense thing, I mean, I would say that's probably the last year anyways. That was what stymied the Chiefs the most in their games against Denver, was not even so much Peyton Manning. In fact, in the second Chiefs-Denver game, I think Peyton Manning had a pass completion rating of somewhere around 50%. And basically the whole game was on the backs of C.J. Anderson and their defense. It'll be interesting to see if the Broncos can build around other things other than Manning, especially if he's going to have sort of a banged-up second half of the season like he did last year. I personally think those other aspects of the team are the parts that are most threatening to the Chiefs, because Chiefs are a team that if they get down, you know, by a touchdown or two in the first half, they tend to have a hard time getting back into it.
So the one thing that I did forget to do with you guys that I had done on the previous shows is the positional grouping, sort of ranking where everybody's positions rank against each other in the divisions. You know, Monty tried to say that he's got the best quarterback situation outside of Peyton Manning. And he may or may not be right. Philip Rivers backed up by Kellen Clemens. And you've got Alex Smith with Chase Daniels. Is that Andy Murray?
Yep, Aaron Murray.
Aaron Murray, thank you. You know, Andy's Aaron's, same thing, right? and Tyler Bray. You know, Oakland might, in fact, have the next best quarterback grouping after Peyton Manning.
I love it, Pod. I love it. Come around. Come to the dark side.
I won't I'll say it's close.
It's certainly interesting. I think we can say that. I don't think there's any argument, and you guys can stop me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to probably lean towards San Diego to argue with this, that the Broncos have the best wide receiver group in the division.
I'm not. I actually don't think the Chargers have any specific group on the team that is better than anyone else. I think they're solid everywhere, and they're not very elite anywhere.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. So no one wants to.
I think the Broncos have the best wide receivers. That's a tough matchup anywhere you go.
So on that point, what makes the Chargers good is when Phillip Rivers is able to spread the ball around. I agree, none of their receivers individually are able to do much, but as a collective group, when Phillip Rivers is able to find the open guy, find the guy that's able to run down the field, hit him in stride, that's when the Chargers are good. Outside of that, there's not a individual player that is necessarily too threatening.
Well, I'll play my own devil's advocate here. I mean, I think Malcolm Floyd and Keenan Allen, I mean, and Antonio Gates at tight end, I think he adds the X factor here with this wide receiving core, and maybe even Stevie Johnson. Yeah, I think Stevie Johnson's a little underrated, and Antonio Gates obviously adds a lot. I think the question mark, obviously, with San Diego, and it seems to be the case all the time, is the injury factor and keeping those guys healthy. But their wide receiving core, I think, definitely matches up, you know, well against the Broncos receiving core. I think you still have the best wide receiver with the Broncos in Demaryius Thomas. You add Emmanuel Sanders and you've got Mr. Caldwell there, but you also got Cody Latimer. Of course, he's got a lot to prove at the wide receiver position. I would not sleep on San Diego's wide receivers. And I think you put it quite well that the strength is when Phillip Rivers is able to spread the ball. How about, I mean, at running back, I think we all agree Jamaal Charles is king of this division, but who would be second in terms of running backs?
I think right now it's pretty easy to put that on C.J. Anderson. It was the C.J. Anderson show as soon as Peyton Manning did go down, and he looked really good. That playoff game against the Colts, he was fighting for every single yard, and it looked like the entire team on the Broncos side, on the offense, just wasn't trying very hard. That's what it looked like. But then you had C.J. Anderson, who was trying to make six cuts to get, you know, 3 yards every single play. And I think just now, you know, we don't know what's going on with Gordon. I don't know how good he'll be. I hope he'll be better than C.J. Anderson. I hope he'll be better than Jamaal Charles. But right now, you got to go C.J. Anderson second. I think Melvin Gordon would be third. And then who knows what the Raiders are going to do, because they don't have anyone.
Very disappointed when Melvin Gordon got drafted by the Chargers. I think Melvin Gordon is fast and big, and he's going to have a pretty solid run in the NFL. Roy Helu is not going to stack up against the running backs in this division, so the Raiders are just going to have to take a pass, run back by committee, and yeah, no comment.
I'm almost surprised to hear then coming out of San Diego. I think Melvin Gordon can be one of the best backs in the league. It may take him it's hard to, when you're talking about a rookie, it's kind of hard to place him against a couple guys that have proven themselves. Obviously, Jamaal Charles is at the top. C.J. Anderson has really stepped up, and he's been the guy to he's proven himself. He's the guy there here in Denver.
All right, so
the Chiefs' number two running back belongs somewhere in those top ones. I mean, Nile Davis ended up with, you know, 8 overall touchdowns between rushing, passing, and special teams with a kickoff return he ran back in, and he's the tough heir apparent, I think, for Charles.
So you guys all seem to be, well, I shouldn't say you all, but at least two of you seem to think the Denver Broncos defense is fairly stacked. And I mean, I can't offer a huge argument against that. But Nick, I'm curious to how you think Kansas City's defense matches up in the division.
I think group by group, I would take both the Chiefs front seven and their defensive backfield over anybody else in the division. I mean, the biggest question mark with the Chiefs and their DBs probably is actually Eric Berry and his health. That's also a big cap issue because we're paying him tons of money. Obviously I wish him well, but he's a guy who we don't know if we're going to see on the field this year. And he's an elite player. Those questions aside, I take the Chiefs defense overall over any other one in the division.
All right.
The first people say that pass rush is, you know, right behind quarterback is some of the biggest things you need, and I don't think anyone on this call is going to argue with the Chiefs' pass rush.
That is very true. All right, gentlemen. So that, go ahead.
Chiefs front seven is definitely at the top, but I'm a little surprised to see that he would take the defensive backs of the Chiefs over the defensive backs of the Broncos. When you're talking about Chris Harris, Aqib Talib, DJ Ward, Bradley Roby, I think those four in particular, I would stack them up against any secondary in the NFL.
I think they're strong. I'd probably still take the Jets secondary in terms of corners over the Broncos secondary. But I mean, it's definitely up there. I mean, there's no arguing. It's a top five. yes. Let me pull something out of the book of some of my former coworkers. Well, I don't know if it's top four, but it's definitely top five. on that note, I did say, Josh, we would get back to your email. Josh Monty sent in an email looking for your position as the Raiders superfan. He mentions that I've grown up a Raiders fan despite only having five seasons with double-digit wins in my lifetime and no championships in my lifetime. I've stuck with them through the revolving door of coaches since the move back to Oakland in 95. Yes, through the John Gruden regime, the longest tenured coach since the move, the Bill Callahan years, all two of them, the Norv Turner era, again, a whole 2 years, the year Art Shell returned, the disaster that was Lane Kiffin and his firing, Tom Cable, Hugh Jackson, Dennis Allen, who I liked, and now Jack Del Rio. As a fan, despite the terrible reign of Al Davis, in fact, I joke with all my cowgirls friends that Al Davis passing was the worst thing that could have happened to Dallas. Jerry officially became the crazy old man among the league owners. Being a Raiders fan through all this has taught me how to be patient, and seeing what they've been building has me believing that my hope has not been misplaced all these years. You guys mentioned it. Raiders fans right now are like on cloud nine, and they all still sort of agree that it's still not even going to be a year of victory.
But I think anyone around the league is going to say that the arrow's pointing up. And for Josh, I would just like to tell him that it gets better. You know, I can make him one of those YouTube videos. It gets better because when the Raiders are winning, they're a fun team to cheer for. And all those coaches that have come through, and I mean, Al Davis, you can make all the jokes that people make about him, but in his time, he had an eye for talent, and he did a lot of good things for the NFL, you know, bringing in the first African-American coach. I mean, all sorts of things. So if he's only seen the bad, it's going to get better.
Well, Josh, it is a very strong application. We will certainly keep it on file if Monty is to falter in any ways. If he does not perform up to the standards we hold for our super fans, we will certainly be in touch. Thanks for listening, Josh. And you too can send in your applications. We're looking for specifically Arizona Cardinals and Buffalo Bills. Those seem to be two teams that we don't have any representation for. So send in those applications, nextfanup@gmail.com. I'm very surprised, especially after last week when Ross Tucker came in as a guest to fill in for the Buffalo Bills and his mention of the Bills Mafia. We still have no Bills Mafia circling around us. It's very odd, gentlemen. You would think this would be the perfect place for them.
Yeah, Bills have a good following. Their fans are loyal. That is kind of a shocker.
So basically what we're saying is you suck, Buffalo. You suck. There you go. Shots fired. Maybe that'll wake you up. Tweet us at NFU Podcast. Check us out on Facebook. Search Next Fan Up or go to Facebook.com/NFU Podcast. I'm Pod Vader. Those were the super fans. And as I like to say, there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.